The faith we affirm this week at Daleville Christian Church is from the first letter of Timothy to Timothy, first chapter, 15 through 17 verses. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is what we claim as our faith and what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. The reading of God's Word this week is from Hebrews, and we're kind of gliding through Hebrews. We begin in chapter 8, verses 11 through 13, then chapter 9, verse 15, and then chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, wherein we read, "No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear." John 9:15 says, "For this reason Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." And then chapter 10, verses 21 through 23. "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We've been talking since Easter here at Daleville Christian Church about new life in Christ. Easter means new life for us. What we've discovered is that new life, and how to live a new life, might not be all that clear to us. We've talked about why that might be true for us. People in the Midwest have gotten the impression that life can be divided up into doing wrong and doing right. And therefore, we wind up believing that we are doing what pleases God if we just stop doing wrong things. Well, that is probably a good start in living a new life, but simply stopping wrong behavior is hardly a new life that Jesus came to give us, and Jesus wanted us to have life to the full. Certainly, for addicts, new life means no longer serving the addiction, but it doesn't stop there. Stopping the abuse of substance or experience is only the first step in a new life for addicts. We not only turn away from doing wrong, but we continue on a path of living to please God. All of us who want that new life that our Lord Jesus is offering, if we want that new life, we are required to stop living the way we are living, stop living the old life, and start living the new life. But the emphasis so far, since Easter, has been on doing and living and action. Here in the Midwest, we often miss that living to please God also means knowing God. Living to please God also means knowing God. Knowing God is what God wants. That we know the Lord is pleasing to God. The problem in many of our churches is that we have people who believe in God, but they don't really know Him. The problem in many of our churches is that we have people who believe in God, but they don't really know Him. They believe in God, but they don't know God. This is an odd problem inside and outside the church. When people believe in God, or people say that they believe in God, but don't really know Him, aren't people in the church supposed to know God? Yes, they are supposed to. So that's what makes the problem so odd, inside and outside the church, because in more than one place in the Old Testament, God says, "No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." This is a promise of God from the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, repeated in the letter to the Hebrews. Jeremiah sees, or at least sees the words of promise, that the sin that divides us from God will be removed, and therefore we can and we will know God. In and through Jesus Christ, the sin is removed. The barrier to God is removed, so that we can know God. The prophet Isaiah saw it also. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant," probably meaning Jesus, "whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He." Know and believe me and understand that I am He. The prophet Isaiah finishes his statement saying, "The Lord says, 'Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me.'" And some people who claim to believe in God will say, "Well, I believe in God. Isn't that enough? I mean, a lot of people don't believe in God, but I do. Isn't that what God wants from me?" And I am sorry if that is your attitude, for you have fallen way short of what God would like. I remind you of that great line from one of my favorite films, Evan Almighty. The actor playing God shows himself to Evan, and Evan asks him, "Do I know you?" And God, who appears as a man, says, "Not as well as I'd like." "Do I know you?" he asks of God. And God says, "Not as well as I'd like." Most people are in Evan's position. We don't know God as well as God would like. It was such a problem that God decided to come to us. The prophet Isaiah will call God Emmanuel, God with us. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. It's so important that we know God, that God came to us, to live among us, and finally to die for us in order that we might know God. Now as for believing in God, we read in the New Testament, in the Gospel books, that the demons and evil spirits believe in God. The evil spirits even know who Jesus is, the Holy One of God. So believing in Jesus as God's Son or the Holy One of God is not sufficient for what the Lord wants for us, for our benefit. Jesus will criticize the Pharisees, saying, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." Jesus will reply to them, "You're in error because you don't know the power of God." Now, we always diss the Pharisees. We disapprove the Pharisees. We dishonor the Pharisees. We disagree with the Pharisees. And yet Jesus said to them, "You don't know the power of God." He said this to the religious leaders of Jesus' own people. Men who knew the Scripture, could quote the Scripture, but clearly missed something. And Jesus says part of their fault is their ignorance of God and their ignorance of God's power. The letter to Titus in the New Testament suggests that ignorant followers of Jesus are a real problem in the church. The letter says, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." Pretty harsh, huh? But clearly these believers who are ignorant of the Lord God were causing some real trouble in the churches. This is such a sorry state of affairs because this problem is fairly easy to remedy. The problem of ignorance as to who God is and what is God like is easy to remedy. The letters of John remind us that the Lord intends for us to know him. The Lord does not want to make this difficult for us. 1 John 5 says, "We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." In other places in God's Word, we are told that if we seek the Lord will respond. Hebrews 11:6, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The Lord rewards those who earnestly seek him. How many times do the prophets call to the people, "Seek the Lord"? Jeremiah even says, "You shall seek me and find me." Jeremiah 29:13. James's letter in the New Testament reaffirms the same thing. Come near to God, he will come near to you. It is Jesus' own prayer that we know God better. Jesus prayed for it in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus praying for the disciples, Jesus prayed to the Heavenly Father, now this is eternal life that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus' own prayer is not yet fulfilled among the believers today. Jesus' prayer not fully answered, that we might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom God sent. Now there are at least four ways to know the Lord better. I'll give you the four. You already know these. But then let me add some more definite exercises for knowing God better. But the four ways to know God better you already know. First of all, God's Word, the Bible. Read it. Read it. Secondly, God's Word, the Bible, meditate on it. Work to consider and understand the words about God that are in the Bible. Thirdly, prayer. Prayer isn't always us talking. Prayer is also listening. Listen not for direction. Listen not for peace. Listen not for help. Listen for who God is. And fourth, worship. Just about everything we do in worship is about revealing God in Christ to all who gather. God's Word, prayer, and the table, the communion table, and it reminds us that God came to us in Jesus and gave himself for us that we may know him as Lord and Savior. Now here are some exercises for you in your growth in the knowledge of God. My experience is that it is helpful if you can gel down more exactly what it is you have trouble believing about God. Do we have trouble believing that God is fair? Do we have trouble believing God is good? Often I don't expect fairness in this life, but how is it that God is being good in my situation? And if the Lord is sovereign, then what is it I'm worried about? And why is it that I worry about it? Do I not trust the Lord? Do I not know that the Lord is trustworthy? Sometimes when I listen to Christian music, I say, I don't get what the singer is saying. Oh, I understand the words. I just don't get it. It's a clue to me that there's a facet of our God that I do not know, a facet of our God that I have not experienced, a facet of our God that I have trouble understanding. There is something more for me to work on. So if you can point out to yourself that it's God's goodness or his caring nature or even God's love, if you have trouble experiencing those aspects of God, if these traits of God are not getting through to you, it's time for a faith checkup. Time to go to God's Word. Time to go to God in prayer. Ask the Lord to help you know him better. I mentioned before about my prayers, and for a time period I used a prayer book. Rather than being praying out of my own, I prayed the prayers in the prayer book. And I remember that every day, I think those prayers began by saying, Show me your love. Let me know your love every day. I was asking the Lord that He help me know Him better. For our God wants you to know Him better. You can help fulfill Jeremiah's promise from God, which is repeated in the letter of the Hebrews. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. We know that God has done His part in helping us to know Him. The Lord is making Himself available to us. We need only draw near to Him. Amen.